I asked you to bring an Orcha Sadiqim to camp because every year we learn Orcha Sadiqim and we are up to Shar Hada'aga. To tell you the truth, I took a quick peek at Shar Hada'aga and I wanted to make sure that it was short, because if we have to spend the entire summer talking about worrying, I would be very unhappy about that. Because I think much of what he says, and this just as an introduction to this shahr, much of what the Orcha Sadiqim says about the value of worrying all the time, the value of having anxiety, is really not particularly helpful for our generation. You may have noticed in our generation there has been a surging interest in Chassidus, and much of that has to do with the need for positivity in our generation, that when we focus on the negative, and when we're always worried, and we're always having anxiety about every avera we ever did, and about every, very often it crushes a person rather than inspires a person. And what we really need is to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be inspired to greater avodas Hashem. And whenever it comes to learning Musar, you know, there are certain Musar Sfarim that talk to specific generations, and others that talk to other generations. So when it comes to, now Orcha Sadiqim is pretty timeless for the most part. But when it comes to Shar Hada'aga, he's going to say certain things that maybe we'll point out along the way that maybe are not super duper advisable as far as an attitude is concerned. Like, for example, he says somewhere in Shar Hada'aga that if your relative dies, you should realize that it's your fault because it was your averos. So probably that's not the healthiest thing to be thinking when Rachman Hatzlan, a person is sitting Shiva, nor is it appropriate to tell somebody who's sitting Shiva. So let's try to stay away from. But there's obviously a lot of value here. So let's get started. You should just note that there are many different editions of Orcha Sadiqim. The words here and there are a little bit different. So if you see that what I'm reading is not exactly the same words that you have in front of you, it's just there were different editions that were printed throughout the years with slight variations. So you'll just bear with me. I left my Orcha Sadiqim at home, so right now I'm using my. I told you guys to bring it. I left mine at home, so I'm using the Bar Ilan's version, whichever version they use. Okay, so we're starting Shar Hada'aga, which is Shar Asiri, the 10th Shar in Orcha Sadiqim. Hada'aga zos hamida hi ra'a b'rov inyaneha. First off, he says da'aga in general, to have anxiety, to be worried all the time, is generally a bad midah. For those who've never learned Orcha Sadiqim before, the yesod of the entire book is one basic rule, that there's no such thing as a purely good midah or a purely bad midah. Every midah is something that could be used for good and could be used for bad. But there are certain midos that, for the most part, are good and very rarely are bad. Like, for example, what would be a midah that, for the most part, is very, very good, but every once in a while can be harmful? So, what? Simcha is one, good. Anivus, right? All the positive midos that, for the most part, are good, but every once in a while, you know, if a person is such an anav that he has no sense of self-worth and that he just wears rags and sits in the corner and doesn't want to do anything all day because he's never going to be anything anyway, so that's not a good anivus, right? So there are different ways to utilize each midah. And he's going to show the positive and negative of each one, but right at the outset he tells us, da'aga on a whole is bad news. In most cases, it does not reflect well on a person when a person is worrying all the time. V'hini keres al kol apanim. And you could see it on a person's face. I was at a wedding recently, and it was a very, very rough engagement. The Chassan and the Kala had major issues with both of their families. The wedding was almost called off like five times. Like, it was like a very, very rough place. And not everyone in the crowd obviously knew that, but me and another rabbi who were dealing with some of the issues were familiar with this, and the other rabbi says to me, look at the Chassan's face. It's the first time I've seen him happy and relaxed in 3 months. And it was true. Meaning, when a person is not happy and relaxed, you could see it. You could very often just see it right away on their face. if you're attuned to other people's emotions. I mean, of course, you have to be paying attention a little bit to actually be looking at other people's face, like, you know, say, and that's a very important thing for us to do, to be able to notice if a person seems down, a person seems upset, so that we can ask what's going on, why it is that the person is having a bad day. This is a pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Mem. Where's this pasuk? Who did he see and they looked upset? Exactly. Yosef is in jail and he sees that there are two people that are really sad. So the Yosef's salvation starts with noticing when someone else is down. Had he not noticed, then what would have happened? He would have stayed there. Right? It's only because the whole thing starts because these people who are total strangers to him are upset. And he doesn't just let it go. Let them be what they want to be and I'll be what I want to be. He just asks them, is everything okay? Is there anything I can help you with? And they say, oh, well, actually. And they just need to talk. And he probably didn't imagine that he would actually be able to help them. He probably imagined that is the only help he would provide, which is the help that most of us can provide, which is just being there and listening. Because very often, that's the greatest help for a person. That not to solve a person's problems. I can't necessarily solve a person's problems. But almost as important, probably even more important than solving a person's problems, is for the person to know that they're not in it alone. That they have someone to sort of unburden themselves to. They have someone to sort of share in their tzaros. You know, Rabbi Chanuch Teller told me that he heard from someone that that's the pshat. The Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin that there was a conversation that happened once between Eliezer Eved Avram and Shem ben Noach. Can you imagine like a conversation like that between like two very important secondary historical figures, right? Eliezer was never like the star of the show, but like he was very critical. And Shem ben Noach, and they're talking to each other. So what kind of questions do you ask? You know, like what would Eliezer ask Shem? So Eliezer says, hey, how did your father handle all those animals? That's like crazy. That's so many animals. Like, can you, like on one boat? I mean, it's not, you haven't been to the Bronx Zoo? That's not even like half the animals in the world. Like on one boat, all those animals. How did he do that? And Shem said, I don't know if I'm getting the tone right, but you know, so Shem said, well, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. But, you know, there was even this one time that he was feeding the animals, and there was a bird, a certain type of bird that wasn't eating. This is all Gemara and Sanhedrin. There's a bird that wasn't eating. And my father said, why aren't you eating? And the bird said, oh, you have enough on your plate. It looks like, you know, you're busy enough with the hippopotamus and, you know, convincing the shark not to eat the other people. And, you know, like, you got, well, the shark, I guess, was outside of the table, but whatever. You know, you have enough going on. Like, I don't think I need to bother you. And so Rav Teller said, the word is that the question that Eliezer was asking Shem was, how did he manage that kind of pressure? And Shem answered the question. The answer to the question is, how did he manage that kind of pressure? Because one time there was one bird that said, I see what you're going through. I can't fix it. I can't solve it. But I feel your pain. And that alone does wonders. Just to know that there's someone else that understands you. I always thought that was the word in Makas Choshech. Makas Choshech, the pasuk says that v'yichoshech hafeil b'chalaretz Mitzrayim, right? And lo kam ish mi tachtav, lo ra ish esachiv, I forget the exact order of the pasuk, and lo kam, you remember? Lo kam ish mi tachtav, that a person who couldn't even move, and all of Chazal, throughout, there's countless memory of Chazal, that Choshech was the most terrifying of all makos. I don't know why it's more terrifying than having wild beasts roaming around. Why is it more terrifying than your entire water supply turning into blood? Darkness is something, it's a makkah that hits every single night. You know, like, why is it so, so terrifying? So I thought that the pshat was, I thought this is what the pasuk is even saying, that it's the only makkah that they didn't see other people suffering together with them. They didn't get to see that they were at least in it together with other people. And that's what the pasuk says. Lo ro'u ish esachiv. They didn't see each other. And therefore, lo kam ish mi tachtav, they couldn't move because they were frozen with fear. That's what cripples a person, when someone else isn't there to just see what they're going through. And when a person is suffering with anxiety, with depression, with concern, with nervousness, with sadness, he wears it on his face, the Aruch HaZadikim is telling us. You'll be able to see it right away. Uksiv madua panecha royim vateim chachola. And you should be able to size up a person and say, you don't seem to be ill, so why are you upset? V'amar echad min hachamim eini motzi klal ba'anshei nefashos ha'elyon osimen da'aga. Says one of the chachamim say, I don't know which chacham he's referring to, that we don't find people who are of a high stature, not socially a high stature, people of an elevated neshama, people who are, you know, extra refined, strong avdei Hashem, who suffer from anxiety so much, who suffer from nervousness so much. Hadaga al olam zeh lahasig mu'uma hi maguna ma'od. Da'aga is not a midah that you find amongst ma'aminim, amongst people who are strong believers, amongst people who have a very great sense of bitachon, which is a fascinating thing, because bitachon doesn't mean that I trust that everything will work out the way I would like it to work out. Meaning a person is ill, they have a sick family member, Rachmana Litzlan, right? So what do you tell them? Don't worry, have bitachon. That what? That everything's going to be okay? That the person's not going to die? I don't know. Every person in the history of humanity, with very rare exceptions, has died. Many of them from illness. Why in the world should you have bitachon that the person's not going to die? What does it mean, have bitachon? Have bitachon that the person's going to get better? I don't know. I don't think there's a requirement to have such a bitachon. Why would you have such a bitachon? Bitachon means that you are comforted in knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. And that whatever happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. And that alone just gives me a certain comfort. Because I know that what's going to happen is what's meant to happen. Now I'm in a daven, and I certainly hope that it's something that I can handle, but I also know that Gam Kielich Bigeis Hamavis Lo Irara Ki Atayim Adi. That even if life takes me into a dark, dark place, I don't have to be afraid. Ki atah imadi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is together with me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and he's the one that's calling the shots. And like a loving father, whatever he's doing, I don't understand it, but whatever he's doing is going to be good. And therefore, there's no sense in worrying, because Hashem is going to make everything the way Hashem wants it to happen anyway. Hadag of hayagun he'mechalem aleif, ve'im choli aguf. It can cause a person to become physically ill. And this is... This is medically proven. In our generation, we've finally discovered that this is true, that anxiety can kill a person faster than smoking a pack a day can kill a person. That it really takes a toll on a person's physical well-being. And why do I say this? Not that if a person suffers from it. And by the way, there are probably more people suffering from anxiety on this earth now than there have been in the history of humanity. Right, when you're living through pogroms and everything else, people somehow found good cheer, you know, they found a reason. But like, you know, if my iPhone broke for like 4 minutes, you know, like it's causing such stress, such anxiety. I'm not sure what the explanation of that is, why it is that so many people suffer from anxiety, but it's something that we have to recognize is a problem and it needs to be addressed. And just if a person, you know, Rachman al-San is suffering from a physical illness that they needed to address, they would certainly try to address that. When suffering from an illness of the ruach, that can actually kill you, a person has to figure out ways to cure himself of it or to set himself on a path that will rid himself of it. And thank God Kadosh Baruch Hu has blessed the religious community with wonderful therapists that help people through these things. But the goal is to become a ma'amin, to become someone who's boteach b'Hashem, and someone who doesn't suffer from da'aga. V'ha'da'aga ha'ra'a shebekol ha'da'agos, hi she'yirdof achar averos. The worst da'aga that exists is wanting to run after averos. U'be'eshelo yimotzei kol chafetz libo, azu do'igu mitzta'er. That whenever you don't get whatever it is that you wanted, whatever bit of gashmius you were interested in, then all of a sudden you get very upset about it. You get, you know, people who are, you know, multi-millionaires, billionaires or whatever, but that one stock tanks, that one thing, that one company that they wanted to buy, or that one thing, and it doesn't go their way, and it's like, the worst day. Because it's another something that they wanted. Hadoeg al olam zeh hu rachok ma'od min haTorah mitzvos vatfila. Someone who worries about this world is very distant from Torah mitzvos and tefillah. L'chein yachush ma'od l'sakin amidah zos. So you have to really try hard to fix this midah. L'hasir also menu, to remove this midah from ourselves. V'ein sorech laharich b'ra'asa, ki kol ha'tovos ha'bos min ha'simcha, hein hipuch b'daga. He says, and I don't have to tell you how bad it is, and that's why I'm only dedicating one paragraph of this chapter to how bad daga is, because refer to Shar HaSimcha, last summer, refer to Shar HaSimcha, and all of the good things we learned about Simcha, the exact opposite is what happens with daga. So I don't have to tell you. So the whole rest of the chapter is going to be the positive kind of daga, or at least what he calls the positive kind of daga. We're going to take issue with maybe some of them, but it will still be somewhat instructive. Okay, have a wonderful evening.